Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to DuoRosen, episode 68. We have a jam-packed show for you, but let's get introductions out of the way. Joining us this week, we have Anthony.
What's going on, everyone?
Who's sporting his new Obi-Wan Kenobi avatar, even though that doesn't help any of you.
The camp I work at during the summer, my camp name, all the campers call me, is Kenobi. So they call me Kenobi, and I found out today that there is a guy that was charged with a hit-and-run with like five cars. And his license, driver's license, his name is Obi-Wan Kenobi.
So are you saying that you were in a hit and run today? And
no, I'm saying that there are imposters out there, so that's why I'm changing my avatar.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
I just ordered a t-shirt that says Obi-Wan Kenobi for President 2012, our only hope.
The president gets cut down in his first major fight.
Oh, that's sad.
We have Jason.
Hello, everyone.
Who, as far as I know, doesn't have an avatar.
Do I not still? Yeah, I guess. Sorry.
And Martin, who, for some reason, isn't an avatar of his Gundam, so...
Hello.
So, yeah, we have a bunch of news to cover, but since we didn't talk about it last week, I wanted to see what anybody was saying, if they wanted to update us on new stuff they've been saying and exciting, fun games. I know it's been a kind of quiet time since The Witcher 2 came out on 360 like a month ago. The next major games are Max Payne 3 and Diablo 3, which hit on the same day.
And Game of Thrones.
And Game of Thrones.
It's going to be horrible, but I'm still going to play that game.
I think it looks decent.
I just have zero faith.
Anybody here played the Walking Dead game?
Yes,
I have. Bought it, but haven't played it yet.
Well, Martin has, so tell us about it.
Well, it's kind of hard to say. It's not really an adventure game. Let's just say that right out of the gate. It's not really an adventure game. It's more like... they took the idea of an interactive story and made it a bit more gamey and actually fun and put it in an interesting universe. So it's mostly about the dialogue and the interaction you have with the other survivors. And what choices you make and that affects who survives, how people feel towards you, and, well, there are some action elements, but nothing as bad as in the Telltale Jurassic Park game.
Okay. Is there any... how does the gameplay work exactly? Like, is it just kind of like you go from situation to situation and make decisions?
It kind of is just that. Because if you know The Walking Dead, it mostly is just people staying in one place, interacting with each other, getting at each other's throats most of the time, and then at some point the zombies show up and they have to get somewhere else. So, it kind of is like that.
Okay.
Yeah, but you can freely walk around the places and interact with some items in the scene. So, there is some adventure element to it, but it's not nothing like Monkey Island, stuff like that. It's more like...
You have to examine a random barn to get gun ammo and food to survive for it.
Not really like that. For example, I was held in like a... A pharmacy, and I could... had to find like batteries for radio, or I could find some energy bars, but those are not even essential to find. You basically just... were just able to improve your standing with some of the characters by giving them some food, for example. So that's interesting. And everything you do will basically affect how the storyline goes along. What I think is interesting is that they have the option to, right out of the gate, you can, the game asks you if you want to disable most of the UI elements. Which is kind of cool, and I actually did that, because if you don't, you can select what stuff you want to see. But in some cases, when you talk to people, it will say at the top, if you make this decision, this person will remember that and that further on. And I didn't even want to know that, so I would make my decisions just how I would probably make them. And you are most of the time on a time limit to react to people. And I think that was way more interesting to play that way, to just see it all play out. So I would actually recommend disabling all the UI stuff.
Okay, I would say I actually prefer when you have decisions on time limits. I mentioned this with Alpha Protocol, because I feel like if you just kind of get time to sit there and discuss it over hot tea or something like that, it defeats the purpose. Like, you're not going to do that in real life if you don't sit there when somebody asks you a question with your mouth agape for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, and it's actually interesting because you are obviously a prisoner in this game. When you meet the farmer and he asks you what you were doing, how you got your wound on your leg, and then you basically have to quickly decide, do I lie to him? Do I say the truth? And it's just on a time limit, and it will actually affect your relationship with this other character. But they also have some fun with it. In the beginning of the game, when they actually teach you how the stuff works, you are in the back of a police car. It's not a spoiler. It's literally the first 5 minutes of the game. You are in the back of a police car, and the cop is about to basically run into a zombie, and you have to quickly decide before four options, and the options are like, look out, fuck, shit, and say nothing. So, yeah, that's pretty great. And the dialogue is well written. It really fits the universe. And I don't mean the TV Walking Dead universe, but the comic universe, because it's actually based on that. And you also meet one of the main characters from the comics, but I'm not going to say who it is.
Okay. Have you been playing anything else?
I also played some Sniper Elite V2, which is a third-person shooter by Rebellion. I actually was interested in the game after I played the demo. It basically is sniper fetishism.
That's the one with the kills actually zoom in, show the skeleton, and show you like puncturing testicles.
Yeah, exactly. You basically get like X-ray shots of the way your bullet penetrates the enemy.
Mortal Kombat style.
Yeah, and those can be pretty gruesome at times. Like Anthony said, there are some you can basically shoot guys' balls off, which can be fun.
Who hasn't wanted to do that?
Yeah.
12-year-olds. 12-year-olds are a little bit harder to hit. This is a bad joke. But
on the highest difficulty level, I think the game is pretty fun because you have to be pretty stealthy on how you go through the levels, and you really have to pick your shots because then the game also has semi-realistic bullet physics, basically the wind effects, how much your bullet sways to the left or the right, the bullet drops the further distance is, so... that stuff was pretty fun. I would say everyone who's interested should check out the demo on Xbox. I think the demo's on everything. If you like it, you'll probably like the full game. It's nothing super special, but a fun distraction. And then I also played Air Mech, the free-to-play game that you can play through your Chrome browser. So you can play on every... system, no matter if you have a Mac, Linux system.
Wait, is it only on Chrome?
It's only on Chrome. Yeah.
Huh, interesting.
It's basically a multiplayer, online multiplayer version of the old Mega Drive game called Herzog 2, which has an interesting system. You basically have your main base where you can build units it's kind of a real-time strategy game, but you don't actually have control of your units. The only thing you can do is give orders to take a new base or just attack the enemy. And you're basically flying around with a jet, and you can pick up units and put them down in different spots on the map, which is kind of cool to get units quickly around. And then you can also transform into a mech and then take basically action with your units. And it's up to 3 versus 3 players. You can also play co-op versus VAI or alone versus VAI, which is great. And like I said, it's free to play. So it's pretty easy to just try it out and see if you like it. I think it's really cool, and I was actually surprised to see just now someone take the very cool concept of Herzog 2 and put it into a new game, because it really feels fresh, because there's only been one game like that, and they really did a good job of making it modern.
Okay, sounds cool, and I assume you're going to link us all so we can give it a try.
Yeah.
Okay. What about you, Jason? Have you been playing anything?
Yes. I've been in full-on Avengers Fever this week.
Hell yeah. Saw that yesterday.
I think we all did. But
yeah, they don't have any great games for you to be...
Well, right. So since this is a game podcast, I'm not going to talk about the awesome movie, but I did pick up the Captain America Super Soldier game. And Huh?
Well, 360 version.
360 version.
Well, because when they did this stuff with Thor and Captain America, because I got to check out these games at the Sega event last year. They're all 3 different games made by 3 different developers.
Right.
So if you wanted to, you could have gotten that whole thing.
Huh. But, well, I didn't know that. But anyway, Captain America, yeah, for 360. There's some things I totally love about this game, and some things I totally hate. I'll start with the superficial stuff. It's ugly. Like, at times, looks like a launch 360 game. I mean, it's just, textures are bad, the frame rate drops all the time, the facial animations and everything are bad, like, the voice acting is not that great. Well, I don't even know if it's the acting as much as the script. But, and the enemy AI is pretty bare bones. But, all that stuff aside, it's a pretty fun game. And the combat kind of riffs off of the Batman Arkham games from Rocksteady, which is obviously a very good thing. And yeah. It's not exactly the same, but it's got the same kind of idea where, you know, the combat has a flow to it, and you kind of lock onto one guy at a time as you're, you know, it's like rhythm based, and then you have all your other moves. And obviously, Captain America has some different moves than Batman does. But I think they did a really good job with that, and they did a really good job with the upgrade system to, like, get more moves and stuff. I'm still pretty early on, so I'm just kind of tapping into that. But, yeah, I don't know what else. The game's kind of weird in terms of level design, because in some areas it's just as linear as you could be, like really basic corridors. And then in other areas it opens up. And it does give you like some incentive to explore. Like they litter collectibles throughout the whole thing, like all these levels. And I'm one of those obsessive compulsive gamers where I have to look at every corner of the map. So
yeah. There's nothing more disappointing in a game than when they have a branching path and there's nothing on the alternate path.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's that, and if you're, like, a huge Marvel or Captain America, like, person, fan, then, you know, there's extra content that you get from doing that. I just kind of do it because I want to, you know, maybe unlock some extra costumes, and because I see this glowy thing in the corner, I have to pick it up.
Can you get, like, the classic Captain America outfit in the game?
I think so, yeah.
It's great.
Right now I just have the movie costume, but, yeah, I was looking at the other costumes online. I believe there's the classic one, the ultimate and I forget what else. But yeah, I mean, I don't know what else. I mean, the story is kind of a non-factor. I don't even know what's going on. I'm fighting Hydra. That's about it. And then,
are we back?
I am.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So you think you were saying you were fighting Hydra?
Yeah, and that's about it as far as the story goes. But the as far I mean, it's we talk about how this generation there's kind of a there's AAA or small game and nothing in between, and this is a game that fits very nicely in between. I mean, you can tell that if they had a lot more money, if they had more time to develop it, or time to even be a non-movie tie-in, like they could have probably done some, you know, cool things and made it a AAA game. It's not AAA. Like, it comes short. Like I said, it's really ugly. Like, there's some really obvious shortcomings, but it's really fun. It's, you know, it kind of captures, it makes being Captain America fun, and I guess, you know, that's what's important, especially when, you know, you just watched Avengers and you want a good game, and none of the other games with Avengers heroes are any good at all, so.
Thor isn't so bad. I was going to say, though, you talk about Captain America, you talk about the combat. You did not mention anything about his shield.
Oh, well, I mean, the shield is a central part of the combat, so.
Yeah, which is what I knew, and I was surprised you didn't mention it, especially like how you can use it to affect bullets and stuff.
Yeah, I guess I didn't really, I just said I love the combat, I didn't really go into it, but yeah, I mean, I don't know, they use it really well. You can throw it, you can, like, aim it and lock on to certain things and kind of, like in Zelda with the boomerang, like, highlight targets and then it'll hit through those targets. You can, like Earl said, you can, if you time, like, when someone's about to shoot at you, there's kind of a, they call it, like, tactical vision, I don't know, it's like spider sense. And if you time the block with the shield properly, he'll deflect the bullet back at whoever shot at you. And there's, I just saw the next tier of upgraded abilities I have has a charging star move. So they use the shield really well, I think.
Yeah, and I guess one more thing, and I thought it was really a great part of the game, is how you some of the ways you traverse the levels is just kind of like a quick time event.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah. At first, I didn't like that because I was like, oh, it's just a quick time event. But they only show you the button prompt the first time because it's like a tutorial. And it's not, it's kind of quick timey. Like, you're not going to miss aim your jump and fall off a ledge like Mario. Like, you're on a set path and it's completely just timing based. And yeah, you just get a little bonus for your upgrades if you nail the timing right. And it's a cool little, like, and all the mini games are like nice little, you know, take a few seconds away from the main, you know, gameplay and just mix it up a little bit.
Well, that, and it gives you the feel of actually being Captain America. Like, yeah. You've seen Avengers, and he does come off as a really agile and nimble character, and
yeah,
that's one of the things
acrobatic
they do in the game. Yeah, to highlight it, and I thought it was an excellent feature that they added.
Yeah, I completely agree. I like it a lot, too.
So, yeah. Have you been checking out? Did you check out Thor? Or I won't even ask about Iron Man. I played the demo.
No, I played the Iron Man demo, and it was just horrendous. I thought I remembered Thor getting pretty negative reviews when it came out, but you said it's pretty good?
Well, I only played it at this demo event, and it's like during a boss battle, and the AD used me with the controller, so I have no idea what to do. And then I find out, like, there's no, like, he has no health, so it's pretty much invincible, so I just kind of got bored of it. But mm-hmm. I remember, I like the, because, again, the Wii version and the 3DS, the DS version, I should say, was done by WayForward, so it's an excellent-looking game. It was kind of stiff in controls, and I like the Wii version, but it's, again, kind of butt-ugly, so, you know, you can take the good with the bad and see which you prefer, but I enjoyed it from the little time on I had with it.
Yeah, I may or may not get into that. I guess it depends on how,
you know,
much I like Captain America. Captain America also has, again, just ripped straight from Batman, Arkham City, and Asylum. And again, that's not a bad thing. That's awesome. But the kind of challenge mode where it throws you in maps from the campaign and you have like four waves of guys and you're trying to build up combos and, you know, not take hits and stuff like that. So that's pretty cool. And I think that's part of unlocking costumes and stuff too.
You can always try to Ultimate Alliance games. I hear they're great for Marvel fans. Anthony, have you been fanning anything?
I've been finished a lot with school. I'm graduating next week, but I have been playing a lot of Kid Icarus. Oh, thank you. I've been playing a lot of Kid Icarus on the 3DS, and I have been having a lot of fun in the campaign. I mean, I went into it a little bit handicapped because I am a lefty, so...
Oh, gosh.
So am I.
Yeah. So I'm controlling Pit with the with the buttons on the right instead of using a control stick. And I'm actually not using a stylus. I'm just using the circle pad because that's a little bit more comfortable for me. So that's nice. It kind of shows how nice it would have been if dual analog was implemented. But go on.
I think it says the same thing.
I was going to say, I'm kind of curious as to what intensity you're playing on. Because I hear, like 5 and under, it seems like it's doable, but I don't know if you can do it, like, 7, 8, or 9 with that setup. I don't know, because...
Oh, no, I can't.
I was gifted the beauty of being a righty, so...
I can't, I mean, it's one thing with doable, but I can't even dodge everything on those other ones, just because the buttons to move Pit around and dodge things are not precise enough.
Oh, you're outnumbered, lefty to right, because I'm a lefty as well.
We have 3 lefties on this show.
Look at that.
How does that work out?
Wow.
Uprising.
How about inverted or non-inverted? Inverted, yeah?
Inverted, yeah. Yes, inverted.
Inverted, except in Kid Icarus. For some reason, I do that regular. Maybe it's because it's third person.
So we have a podcast full of weirdos. We
have lefty, inverted.
Inverted freaks.
So, Kid Icarus, the single player is, I mean, it's fun. It's a fun story. There's high production value, and the levels are fun. And obviously the intensity, like the difficulty by like tenths of decimals is really cool, you know, where you can find a sweet spot of where you like to play. But I hate the multiplayer online.
Really?
Yeah, I can't stand it. I mean, I've been doing free-for-all, so I haven't really gone into team, but... Maybe being a lefty doesn't help out much for it, but...
It probably doesn't, because you need that kind of speed and control that you probably won't get with the buttons.
Yeah, and then there's that, and then there's the fact that, yes, it's interesting and it's cool with the sheer amount of weapons in the game to find out what works best for you, but if you play it casually, I don't play it every day, but if you just play it casually and then unlock weapons on occasion... You're going to get your ass kicked by people who have, like, fantastic weapons in online multiplayer, and the better weapons make the game more chaotic. For 6-player free-for-all, it's a little bit too much.
Well, I was going to say that they do kind of compensate for that a bit. One is that, I don't know if you've activated Street Pass, but Nintendo does send you a free weapon every day.
Oh, every day? For Spot Pass?
Yeah, Spot Pass. Well, you have to convert it, which I hate, but they do send you like a little gem you can convert to hearts or change into a weapon.
Okay.
They do randomly give out weapons at the end of multiplayer, and that usually favors people who don't win for some odd reason. And the fact is, the stronger your weapon, the more... Like, you do more damage, but if you die, you end up losing more points as well, so they do kind of try to balance it that way.
Mm.
But I get what you're saying, especially being that after a while, the game does tend to favor close-range weapons because it's so easy to dodge projectiles.
Yeah. And it's too chaotic, and it's... basically, the way I found it, so it's too chaotic, it's unbalanced, and it isn't that fun. It would be, in my opinion, more fun on something like the Wii U or the Wii.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are under the impression that this would have been a better Wii game because it's pretty much a setup that would work fantastic with the Wiimote.
Absolutely. So, I mean, all in all, like, the single player is still fun, and I'm glad I got it, but the multiplayer, it's like, no, no, thanks. As far as online multiplayer 3DS goes, I'll stick with Mario Kart, and thank goodness Mario Tennis coming out later this month.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And Mario Kart's going to get a patch, so I don't have to play Woohoo Island all the time.
Why haven't we played Mario Kart, Earl? We haven't played once.
I don't play Mario Kart much, partially because I kind of got bored with that. Because, like, you'd play Free Fall and everybody would pick Woohoo Island. Like, I've played Mario Kart Wii, which I think a couple of times. I always pick random, just because I don't like having the same stages.
Yeah.
But yeah, everybody would pick the same thing, and after a while, I don't know the shortcuts. I'm not gonna try to figure it out. It's not worth the effort. I feel like it's cool to have shortcuts that help you progress, but not one that cuts off 2/3 of a race.
No, obviously design shortcuts are neat and cool. But, I mean, that's just pointless.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, if you want, like, Dad or Kid Icarus, I'm always up for that.
No, never.
I think Kid Icarus with friends, especially if you do three on three. I think three versus three is fun. It is chaotic, but it's kind of like if you did Smash Brothers in 3D.
No, it's not.
Well, I mean, because you get a bunch of random power-ups about the stages and stuff like that.
Ooh, no, I'm not going to concede here.
Okay.
But I think we should totally try to play Mario Tennis when it's odd.
I'm still curious about Mario Tennis because it seems like everything they're saying is like online is all you co-op. I could be mistaken there. Though.
Wait, what?
It's
that
like all you two.
No sense.
So like two versus two. That's what it seems like. I don't know if they like sometimes Nintendo's really odd at saying what they need to say for people
sometimes.
To understand them. but yeah, we shall see.
Holy crap! As I found the best website, I just looked up Mario Tennis online. And you guys remember the site hosting site called Tripod? MarioTennis64.tripod.com. The site is best viewed in Netscape now.
Netscape.
In 800
also,
by 600.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's Mario Tennis open, so you can find the right one. And during that segment, Daniel joined us. So, hello, Daniel.
Hello.
Have you been playing anything new recently?
No, I'm poor, so I can't afford anything new at the moment.
You're in my club, then.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of stuff to do, you know, a bunch of errands and stuff in and out of the city. I've been going back into Super Mario 3D Land, and because this happens with every Mario game recently, where like you know, they all had that bonus content, but I can play through the game once, and I just kind of sit on the bench for a couple of months, and then go back and get like the bonus stuff. And I feel like the second half of the game is a fantastic use of 3D and some amazing stages. So I just wanted to put that out there. It's still a great game on the first half, but I think the second half trumps it greatly.
Yeah,
quick Mario Tennis update. It's up to four players.
Yeah, I know it's up to four players, but I didn't know if it was like it sounded like it was only two versus two.
I think I saw a video, their customization video, or actually it wasn't that. I don't know if it was. It might have been customization. It was talking about online, and then I saw a singles match. So hopefully that's the case.
Okay.
I don't see why you wouldn't be able to. I mean, it's not.
Well, it is Nintendo. These are the same people who ditched Wii Fit and Mario Kart Wii. So
battle, you mean?
Well, I mean they ditched Wii Fit battles. Yeah.
Yeah, good point.
They made it up with Mario Kart 7 because I think he's an awesome carry forward. But yeah, I think that will do it for our what you've been saying now. You know, like I said, we're as of this recording, we are 30 days away from the start of E3 or the Microsoft and Sony press conference.
Woo-hoo!
So we're 4 weeks away from the show. Which means that announcements are ramping up big time as we get closer and closer. And this week was no different. We had a ton of games announced, some new
financing,
and stuff like that. Let's start with Sony because they seem to be the ones who are telling you everything ahead of time. I don't think they announced any new games. Well, they re-announced the Unfinished Swan, which is a really nifty looking PSN title.
Yes.
I don't know if any of you've seen the trailer for that.
I have seen the game when it still was an indie project and had no publisher, and I thought back then that it looked interesting. I'm actually surprised that it's taking so long, but that seems to be normal for those indie games.
It's kind of weird. I can understand it's being normal for indie games, but at the same hand, you kind of picked up by a big publisher by Sony. We think they could help you out with that, because from what I understand, this game was kind of revealed in like 2008.
Yep.
So 4 years. I mean, this is.
Yeah, but Sony knows all about giving games their time.
Yeah, they do. I was gonna say this is getting into the Asgardian territory now. But you know,
they also do like these weird games on PSN, the kind of more artsy indie style.
But even then, like that game company has done what Flower and Journey and Flow in that time.
Yeah, maybe it's worth it.
Oh, I mean, I assume it's I mean, from a financial standpoint, I don't know if it's necessarily worth it for a company to have 5 years to develop a game that doesn't sell well. But from a portfolio standpoint, I mean, I think we've had this discussion before. Sony, as a first-party publisher, does a terrific job of giving you a ton of exclusives. Sony, as a first-party company, does a terrible job of getting games that sells their system.
Yeah. Anyway, I think the game looks really interesting, and I'm very much want to play it.
So do I. It looks great. I mean, for those who haven't seen it, it's basically you go around throwing paint and it creates a world around you.
Well, the world is actually already there. You just can't see it.
But then, yes. Okay. It kind of reminds me of The Blob. Well, except The Blob was already there and you can actually see it, but you can know like, how you go around and color the world and stuff like that. I don't think it necessarily has the combo system of the original Blob. Thank God it doesn't have motion controls to jump. But yeah, it looks like a fun little game, and I assume we'll hear more about it before E3. I don't think this is the type of game you would showcase at your press conference. Well, this is Sony.
But
we'll find out about everything before their press conference anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, there are games that they tend to have a ton of scissor rules because they do tend to have the most amount of games on this day from any of the companies. So this is probably going to be in that scissor rule. And they also announced the God of War Ascension multiplayer because every good game needs multiplayer nowadays.
Gotta combat those used game sales.
Yeah, which is kind of weird because God of War is a great sell on its own. So maybe Sony's just thinking they can get an extra million or two out of this. I don't know. It is kind of weird, though, because I've seen a lot of pushback against this, not just because of the multiplayer, but it seems like it's finally gotten to a point where people are thinking God of War may be too gory.
Yeah, the game looked. I saw the video. This was really weird. Why did they have to attack the poor Cyclops who was chained down?
Yeah, that's what everybody.
He didn't do anything.
I think that's what everybody was having issues. It's like he's pretty much a victim in this. He's being chained up in the background, and then
those Spartans are fighting each other. Who gets to kill him?
Yeah, it's kind of messed up. And I think 1UP.com was the first people who ran a story about that because like it's like torture porn. Because like this guy's doing nothing. He's chained up. Like after a while, you get control of a certain area, and you can start stabbing him and stuff, and then you can rip his jaw off.
Yeah,
and he can't defend himself. So yeah, it's kind of. And then I heard it again on 8-4J.
Yeah, true.
As
yeah.
Well,
and I also didn't think the multiplayer looked all that interesting, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, and I've said I don't think God of War itself, on itself, is a multiplayer. Like it's nice to have. No, multiplayer that isn't just a shooter, but no. God of War doesn't seem like the type of game. Like, Assassin's Creed made for an interesting multiplayer because it's basically an advanced version of hide and seek.
Yeah.
This is like God of War combat is great for a one player campaign, but with multiple characters, it's just going to be a button masher, and that's not fun after a while.
Yeah.
I guess they have perks, and you can get like different weapons and different abilities. Like Kratos can fly and shoot. Well, these aren't—it's not even Kratos; it's just random Spartans.
Yep.
So yeah, I mean, God of War multiplayer—it's there. So yay for
it
that.
It exists.
I'm sure it's going to be the thing that compels this to a 10 million seller. Yeah, so that's that for Sony. We got the announcement of some other games, and we might as well start with the biggest one, or the biggest, what the heck, variety game was, which was The Elder Scrolls Online.
We knew this was coming.
I think, yeah, I remember hearing about this around the same time as Skyrim. It just seems like people didn't take it seriously at the time.
Which looks and sounds like every other MMO ever.
Yeah, which I think a lot of people are saying. I mean, it seems like it's taken parts of all the Elder Scrolls games. I think all environments from various games, but not the full environments.
And this is the thing, is we've got games out there now, like Guild Wars 2, which are trying to say, you know what, these are the traditional MMO conventions, and let's not do them anymore, you know? And yeah. When you're trying to compete with, with what many are saying is the failing subscription-based model and World of Warcraft and The Old Republic, you know, I just don't think that, you know...
What did they say? It's subscription-based?
Well, I don't know. We don't know yet, but
I would assume so.
I would assume so too. I was just, you know, throwing that out there because, like you said, it's kind of World of Warcraft and the older public, and that's about it. And even the older public
is not
as strong as it
could be. It even uses the same engine as the Old Republic.
Yeah, it does.
I was going to say, it's even more so because it's not even trying to like, carve out a niche on the consoles because it's always for PC and Mac. Yeah.
Well, so is like every MMO that's not called
CCUO. That's my point. That's my point, though. Like, if you wanted to do WoW or something, don't do it on PC. Do it on the console where there isn't much competition. You kind of stand out from the pack. Especially being that I could be mistaken, but I assume Elder Scroll has a huge fan base on the consoles. I mean, Skyrim is, what, near 7 or 8 million on 360 and PS3?
It's also a big PC franchise, though.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, like, you could have, I mean, maybe it's one of those things where, like, they can't announce it because it's on the PS4 and the Xbox Next or whatever, and maybe, you know, they can't say anything about it, but it does seem kind of weird.
It's just like, how many fantasy-themed MMOs do we need?
Yeah,
not only that, it's the Elder Scrolls games have a track record of being very, very buggy. And,
yep.
You know.
And MMOs have a track record of being even more buggy, so...
And with MMOs, you've got a lot more things to consider, like, what happens if somebody manages to finish all of your content in the first day? You know, what do they do?
I think they were saying it takes 120 hours to max out your character, which
isn't even much.
That's less than a single-player Elder Scrolls game.
Yeah.
Okay,
in the MMO landscape, that's actually not very much.
I guess I was thinking differently. I'm thinking 120 hours, that's way too much to max out a single character. Like, I guess I would want to play as multiple characters. And DC does a decent job, because I think you max out at level 30. So it gives you a reason to play as other characters once you hit that level cap.
We should also note, too, that this isn't Todd Howard's team working on it.
Yeah.
It's ZeniMax Online, so...
Well, from what I understand, if you have somebody doing a Bethesda game, it doesn't necessarily always work out better for that product. So we shall see. I mean, it seems like a lot of the reactions online was, like, negative, or this isn't needed, but...
Yeah, right now I would also say not really needed and not really all that interested right now.
No, I don't know if... Yeah, the first trailer or what gameplay didn't look that special, so we shall see.
But it has Michael Gambon in it.
And I also... I mean, I don't want to hate on... Skyrim wasn't really known for its combat system, so...
Well, neither
are
MMOs.
But it's the thing, a lot of things that make up traditional Elder Scrolls games, they just won't be able to do in an MMO. Like, the fact that you can... No, you have quite a big effect on the world. And the fact that, you know, you can't have as much... You won't be able to have as much control over your character as you do in Skyrim. And, you know, it's just a lot of stuff. It just feels like a massive change. I mean...
Well, it is a massive change. And, I mean, people always ask... But I feel like the Elder Scrolls service wasn't one of those franchises that people always blame for being stagnant. It seems like each one changes and evolves great because they come out, like, every 6 years or whatever.
I just think also, you know, MMOs are really hard genre to get into because, you know, the people that really like MMOs tend to gravitate towards one or, you know, if more than one.
And not only that, it's
a
very I love it, I hate it sort of genre.
Yeah, like, and for me personally, like, when I got bored of the Old Republic after less than a month, I, you know, that's it. Like, an MMO is not for me. I'm not going to buy another one, probably ever.
I think part of it, though, is like a lot of them tend to be MMORPGs. There are other MMOs that have different... Like, I know there's, like, an MMO... But yeah, there are, like, I know there's, like, a 2D platformer beat-em-up one, and there's, like, a fighting game one and stuff like that. So if people try them with other genres, it might help. But if you're all just chasing the WoW crowd, it's really going to be hard to...
Well, let's put it this way. We're not going to have an Elder Scrolls game that's an MMO FPS, are we?
Well, you never know. I mean, I could imagine an actual, like, imagine a wartime MMO where, like, you're different factions and stuff, and it's, like, an actual war where you stay in the trenches and somebody has to be, like, the
scout. Well, that's effectively what PlanetSide 2 is going to be, but...
Yeah.
It's not what the Elder Scrolls Online is going to be, is it? Because
it's not what the Elder Scrolls is going to be. I'm just saying that I think an MMO FPS or TPS can actually work if done right, because I don't know if you saw that mod for Modern 2? Day one. I think that it's like a fantastic cooperative experience where it's we don't have it on the notes because it's a mod for Armor 2 or whatever. It really makes me want to actually buy a PC game. Not even for the game itself, but for the mod. It looks like a
That's
ton of...
How Half-Life got success. A lot of people just bought it for Counter-Strike.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like the type of zombie game I've always wanted, where it's all about kind of working together and, you know, collecting supplies and surviving, not necessarily just mowing down zombies.
But it's not just about working together. I don't know if you have seen the video where one guy was basically robbed by two other players who wanted his weapons, which was such a great moment. Just two guys showed up shouting at him, put down your weapons or we will kill you, because death is permanent in this mod, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. And honestly, that's what's gonna happen in an actual zombie apocalypse. People are gonna be dicks. I won't lie. If I had the numbers, I would gang up on people and stuff like that. But you know, that is a tangent, because the game isn't new and the mod isn't done yet. It's in alpha, I think they said.
I think so.
So yeah, I mean, it's worth checking out if you haven't seen it. It's a great looking thing, but.
There are also, if you don't play, or you can play the game, there are also some great YouTube video series. Basically what I have been doing. Some people are basically putting each day of their playtime on there, so you experience the game with them, which is also great.
Yeah, some of it, though, it's I was watching this one. It's the main one they linked to on the Gaff thread. I like it, but the narrator, the main character, is just really annoying after a while, and pretty stupid, because he wants to be, like, the Rick of the group, so he'll just run ahead, and he'll start scouting barns. Like, there's one time he gets, like, trapped by zombies, and he just starts running back, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, I'm like, shut up. But yeah, it's kind of cool, and you know, wounds and stuff are real, so if you get hit, you just can't like hold, you know, you can't just sit back for like 5 minutes and help it. You have to bandage yourself up or you can bleed out and stuff like that.
Yeah, if someone would take this concept and make it into a real MMO, I would totally play that.
Yeah, well, maybe they'll find a publisher. But moving on to the other stuff, we had One more major game announcement this week, which was Sonic and All-Star Racing. Because for some reason they ditched the Sega part of it, and I think Sonic and All-Star Racing makes a lot of sense. But
I love how you said major announcement.
I think it's a major announcement. I think that...
Oh no, a lot of people are excited for this game.
Yes, I am too, and not just because Fez from Skies of Arcadia is in it. Okay, mostly because he is, and he drives a version of his ship. That because this game has... Basically, the idea behind this game is that you transform into a boat on water, and you can take off as like a mini-jet in the air. So he gets to actually fly his pirate ship at some point, which is awesome.
So it's Diddy Kong Racing?
Except Diddy Kong Racing, you had to pick one or the other, didn't you? It's like you pick a car...
So it's Mario Kart 7.
Pretty much that. except that instead of going on the water, you stay on top of the water, so it's more like wave race, I guess. But yeah, it's pretty much, I know it has to suck for them, because I assume that they didn't plan it, because Mario Kart 7 was just revealed at E3 or whatever. I think it was probably not. So yeah, this game had to be in development more than that. But yeah, I imagine it had to be a really tough decision for them when they say, hey, crap, they stole that idea. Or, like, it's going to get ripping them off. But, yeah, I assume it will do well. It kind of sucks. I mean, again, we don't really deal with rumors, but a lot of stuff came out. Like, Sega's been trying to get Nintendo to put in some of their characters, and Nintendo's kind of been stonewalling them with this one.
We gave you Sonic for Smash. I can just see those conversations.
Yeah, but I would imagine, and this is kind of the same point I brought up last week with the PlayStation All-Stars, is at some point, it's not going to help Nintendo. Like,
no, I completely agree with you. Like, and especially when they have a competitor to this game themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
So Yeah.
But you know, there are people like I could see if they put like Captain Falcon, because F-Zero has kind of been dormant for quite some time, or Kirby, because you know Kirby had his air riding game, or even Diddy Kong, because Diddy Kong has that experience as well. I don't necessarily think it needs to be from the Mario franchise, but there are other characters I think they can loan out that suit a racing game, especially being that with the Wii U coming out this year and them finally probably getting on board with getting multi-platform versions of games, that it would befit them to actually give people a reason to buy their game on their system instead of on the other two, and that's probably in, what is it, 100 million homes at this point? Hmm. So yeah, I don't think much else is known about this game. It looks good, and I'm sure we'll hear more about it at E3. Which reminds me, this isn't on the news either, but THQ isn't going to be at
E3. That's not surprising.
They are. They just don't have a booth.
That's probably a good thing. They don't have to spend that money.
But I assume they can't spend that money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what are they going to show? Right now they just have Darksiders and...
The Saints Row expansion.
The South Park RPG.
Oh, you're right. They have that. I wonder what's happening with Guillermo del Toro's game.
I was wondering about...
It's going to be next-gen. I don't think there's much else to say about THQ, right?
I like the company. They haven't always had the greatest games, but they had their place, and it just kind of sucks that they never really found their... I guess they found their niche. They have hit games, it's just that they bet way too much on the tablet controller thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can... I'll say that we're rooting for them to come out of this, and also none of us really expects them to, sadly. But
because I don't know what they necessarily do to turn it. Like they don't.
They have to hit on every game they release for like the next many games, and that's so hard to do in this industry.
They probably have two big games this year, and the possibility that both are hits. I don't know.
If they can hit on Darksiders 2, which I think has a pretty good chance.
I think South Park has.
You think
South
Park has a better chance?
Yes,
okay,
of course. Because of the license.
Well, by hit, I mean, you know, if Darksiders 2 sells more than 2 million, I think that's good. Like,
well,
that's
I think part of it is that if they have the money to market it, because they can't really back one horse and hope for the best. Because if they market or put their money towards like South Park and it doesn't sell, they put all their money towards Darkseid and it doesn't sell, that kind of bankrupt them. So they're in that odd position where they have to market games, but they may not be able to market it efficiently and effectively where it sells well. I'm also kind of curious to see if Nintendo helps them out with Darksiders 2 on the Wii U, because it was one of the first titles announced for the console, so they might help push it. And it does kind of cater to that Zelda audience, who I assume won't get another game for like 5 years.
I think the Wii U launch, though, certainly helped it. I know that, I mean, any kind of launch title, especially with Nintendo, if they're doing these kind of third-party stuff that actually has less of the, sadly, still this kind of stigma with Nintendo, but less of a kiddie demeanor. Here's Darksiders 2. You know, it's a quality game, and it's at launch, and people will be looking for some kind of experience like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, it can help. It's one of the first games that's kind of associated with the console. And RG, one of the few that can actually be talked about openly for whatever reason.
While we are talking about THQ and South Park, we should probably also say that the cover and the name probably already leaked because of Xbox.com.
It was
looks
bad enough.
Like the game is called South Park, The Stick of Truth.
Which is kind of a dull name.
Which is appropriate for South Park.
Yeah, but for South Park, I would have expected it to be kind of some type of clever play on words for, you know, popular RPG titles.
Yeah, but we haven't really had that from any of the other South Park games. We've had Let's Go Tower Defense Play and Tenement's Revenge lately, so...
Fair enough.
They would probably love to go very offensive with it, but they just can't.
Yeah, and I mean, it's bad enough for Microsoft where you can their own games on Xbox.com. But now
yeah,
they're third parties.
And they also may have leaked that the game has offline co-op.
Which would be cool. Kind of weird that it doesn't have online co-op, but...
Who knows? May have just been an incomplete league.
Incomplete. Well, like, Microsoft bumbles their own league. Well, I guess not their own league, THQ's league. And I guess since we're on THQ still, and like I was saying before, their biggest friend is Saints Row at this point. And they're going to effort to that again this year with the announcement of Enter the Dominatrix.
I'll buy it.
Is this still part of their season pass thing?
No,
it's a standalone expansion that will come out for $30. Which, as far as I'm concerned, they should have done that from the start.
See, that's where I'm kind
including of... everything so far, you mean?
No, it will be whole new stuff.
I think you get I
know, but also including the stuff so far, because, I don't know, the stuff I've seen from the Saints Row DLC...
Well, no, it'll be a standalone expansion, so like in
not
the vein of
great.
Battle of the Game Tony.
Yeah,
and that's what I'm saying is they should have done this from the start, because what we got in Saints Row 3 DLC was reskins and stuff that's already in the game, really.
I think the problem with that, and we'll get to this in a second, is just a timing of... It's probably, I mean, the game isn't even that old yet. I mean, it's what, 6 months now? So it's not that far after out of launch. I think if you do it too soon, people might complain that there's content cut out.
You know what I'm thinking? This might be a reaction because of the THQ trouble.
I think so.
I still remember the developers saying, before Saints Row 3 was coming out, they said, like, we have DLC for a whole year. So...
Yeah, but by DLC, what they actually meant was stuff that's on the disc. Because that's what it is.
Yeah,
they're releasing
but...
just reskins of stuff.
But I'm thinking maybe the stuff from Enter the Dominatrix was at some point planned to be all DLC. But,
but also lately
THQ may think that the DLC might not sell as well as the disc.
But lately they've
which
had
they
stuff like new weapons for the DLC, and then they've said, oh, we can't let you have this in the main game because of memory issues of the consoles. So maybe that's another reason why they said, well, we'll do an expansion, and then we can add as many weapons as we want, and we don't have to worry about hardware limitations.
Yeah, I will just say I think this would be an easier sell at $20, but I don't know the extent of the content. I just think that's kind. I believe that's what Red Dead Redemption and Grand Theft Auto 4 did.
Yeah,
so.
Kind of.
We shall see. I mean, yeah, I do.
I mean, I think I've always been of the opinion that Volition makes better games than it does DLC. So. Maybe this will work out just fine.
Well, I guess I assume at this point THQ is in a do or die situation with everything, so I wouldn't be surprised if we also get like another major Saints Row the third expansion pack around Christmas time, and probably a Game of the Year edition.
Yeah.
Personally, I loved Saints Row the third, and
oh, yeah,
I'm probably the one who sold you on it, Earl. And
also
Daniel. It was me. I was fucking.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, Daniel was like just going crazy over here.
But I have to say, if the amount of content is all right with this thing, I will totally get it.
And the
content has to be stupid enough. That's important.
Well, I think, I mean, one is called Enter the Dominatrix.
I don't think we're going to have problems with that. But it has to be stupid.
I don't think they have any issues with going over the top. Like I said, I think you get superpowers in this one, so...
Yeah. Yeah.
It won't be Mega Man, but... And, you know, DLC was the other big story of this week, with the news of the Max Payne DLC plan, which, surprisingly enough, a lot of people didn't take kindly to. It was announced, I think there's 7 parts of DLC for the game.
I love this. What they're doing. But what I mean by that is announcing all the DLC ahead of time.
See, I think there is, and I think that's the problem, is I think people need to stop announcing DLC before the game comes out.
I completely disagree. I'll rebut.
I was going to say, I don't necessarily have a problem with the DLC. I think the issue is this mental thing people have where if you announce it ahead of time, they just assume it's content that you cut out of the main game.
I don't have a problem with that, but the thing I have is now give me one reason why I shouldn't just wait for the Game of the Year edition.
Well, that's a whole.
Well, that's your prerogative. You could do that too, and that's not a bad idea either.
Some people do wave, but I do. I just think that there is some type of connotation with people that if DLC is announced before a game comes out, it's content that they should have gotten from day one. I'm not necessarily agreeing with that stance. I just seeing the reactions to how this was received compared to the we had an announcement of Skyrim DLC this week as well. And people were more excited for that, except when it came out that it would be Xbox exclusive for a month, and that's a whole. That will we get to in a second.
Is that for sure now, or
yes?
That's weird. For sure. I mean, I have the Xbox version, so but
well, I mean,
that's still weird.
I wanted to play the PS3 version.
I would think PC if anything.
But yeah, I think ideally I was talking about. I think ideally if you want, it's probably best to announce DLC probably 2 weeks after release, where people have had enough time to probably have bested the game already, but they haven't sold it yet. You just kind of get them on that crossing. There's a new game coming out. Maybe I'll keep it. Maybe I'll announce DLC and just kind of get them there. I do agree with you with announcing everything up front and saying.
Yes.
Like, we'll kind of have, we'll hit, you know, we'll have this month one, we'll have this month two, month three.
Yeah.
So you kind of know what to expect. It's kind of, I mean,
exactly.
It's basically episodic content done right.
Yeah and it's all, I mean, it's from the developer-publisher perspective, all this stuff is already planned when the game comes out. And there might be stuff that changes, so I maybe, you know, I would understand maybe not announcing specific dates or something, but saying, hey, you know, this month we're going to have this. This month we're going to have this. Like, this is what you can expect. If you're going to sell something like the pass, I hate the passes that are like, oh, buy our MC Promise. And I like that Rockstar's like, this is exactly what you're getting.
Even then, you still don't know what you're going to get is going to be any good. I mean, it could just be another Saints Row 3 season pass where you just get crap.
But presumably you would buy it if you think Max Payne 3 is good, and you know.
Yeah, but I thought Saints Row 3 was good. I love Saints Row 3. Did I bother with the season pass? No, because I could, you know, I took a look at the Genki Bar and I was like, nah, it's not worth it because they're just going to keep giving us crap like this.
Right. Okay. I mean, that's a fair point, but you can still buy the DLC piecemeal. You don't have to buy the pass to get it.
The thing about the Max Payne DLC though is that it's pretty clear that it's just multiplayer maps. So
and who's to say that that's not? Who's to say they're not going to pull an Epic and give you on disc content in as part of the pass? Because if they're going to do that, no, thank you.
No,
I mean it depends on. I mean, I tend to agree with you on this DLC. But I also think it depends on what. Like, if you're just reusing assets from, like, you know, like, maybe it's not a big DLC because they're just rearranging assets that's already on it. That's different. I think what you mean is more like unlocked keys, where it's just like,
yeah.
Oh, we have this content.
This is exactly what Epic did with Gears of War.
but Daniel, Rockstar doesn't have this history. And
yeah, but
I
who's to say they're not going to start? This is the thing, is in this time, you don't know who's not going to do what.
Yeah, I get that, but at the same hand, you're just thinking the worst of the people. Like, give them a chance to screw up before.
Yeah, and you always have the option to just not buy it, or buy it as it comes out.
I don't know. I just don't think Rockstar is the company to start that. They are probably. I think they are a special case.
Yeah, I think Rockstar is kind of above the game industry at times. Partially because I just assume that Grand Theft Auto does well enough so that they don't have to nickel and dime people just yet.
Yeah.
It could happen.
And personally, I also think, I'm also with Jason, I think it's great that they announce all of it before. And so people who don't like it know that they can wait for Game of the Year edition or don't get the game at all. People that are interested already know what they will get. And I actually think the multiplayer of the game looks really cool, judging by the GGTV special I watched, I think, yesterday. So it's nice to see that the multiplayer will have support for a while. So that's kind of cool.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, I hope for the best for Rockstar. They have goodwill. I mean, a lot of companies seem to be burning through that at the moment, Capcom. But...
EA has goodwill?
I was about to say, I don't think EA's had goodwill with people for
They had at some point.
At some point, maybe in the 90s.
Oh, the 90s were worse.
Okay, they had this brief period this gen where they had like Mirror's Edge and Dead Space, and
yeah,
they were trying new and innovative stuff, and then they became EA again, so... Speaking of nickel and diamond to consumer, Microsoft announced the Xbox 360 subscription model.
Isn't this a rumor still?
Huh?
I thought this was just a rumor at the moment.
I thought it was confirmed.
It hasn't been confirmed yet, but it's all but confirmed, it looks like. And it's just opening, like, the whole point of this discussion is just opening up to the pricing strategies for next generation of stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. Which, I mean, it's a thing. But, yeah, the idea is that you buy up front a Xbox 360 and Kinect for $100, and you're kind of locked into a two-year contract where you pay them $15 a month to access Xbox Live Gold and some other features.
What happens if you quit? Do they just, like, repossess your Xbox?
There's a cancellation fee.
Well, what if
it's
you
probably
don't
like if you quit on a phone, like,
yeah,
the like cancellation fee goes down the longer into the contract you're in, kind of thing.
But it's still like a huge lump sum if you do. So
wait. So you pay $15 a month or whatever amount. So you pay for the console, but you also get gold.
Yeah.
For the amount, whichever you have to pay.
Yeah.
It doesn't even sound that bad.
No, I love this idea.
It's
so
an interesting
much.
Idea, definitely.
It's an interesting idea. It's just that in the long run, it actually ends up costing you more.
Of course.
It
does. What
they
would
do.
The company have to spread out your payment over time if they're not going to make a little bit more money off of it?
Yeah.
In any other industry where they do this, like TV financing, cell phones, like that's what ends up happening too.
Yeah, and I think those are terrible ideas in those industries as well. I hate the fact that I'm locked into a certain type
but
of contract.
You get the benefit of not paying as much up front. Like, that's the trade-off.
And unfortunately, if it works, Microsoft is going to say, well, why don't we do it too?
I mean, you mean Sony. This is Microsoft.
Whatever. I mean, but it's an option. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah,
you
can
pay the whole lump sum up front, and it's more inconvenient for you at the time, but then you pay less in the long run. But for other people, that's not going to be the case.
Yeah.
For other people, it's going to be like, oh, I only have to pay $100. $15 a month, I can handle that. Okay, I end up paying like $30 extra over 2 years. Like, that's going to be way worth it.
Yeah, I also think it's cool if you get gold with it. If it was just for the console, I think that wouldn't look as good as a deal.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't, because, I mean, if you bought the console and then they charge you, what would they charge you $15 a month for?
to keep it.
But how would that work? Because then you could just, like, go offline.
Yeah, I don't know. But I don't see it as a bad move. It's a nice option to have. For some people, it's definitely something they would like. Personally, I would still, of course, just buy the console up front, because I know I will keep it for...
Yeah. Yeah,
ever, anyway. So
what happens if they don't give you that choice?
That's gonna be another issue that if it does rear its head next gen, I think we're gonna have, you know, there are a lot of things that are questionable right now. So let's hope for the best.
I think
personally, I don't
as a company, you would rather have the sum up front.
Yeah.
So I don't see them not giving you the choice.
Well,
but
I don't.
For the people
that won't take
that $400 jump or whatever, like, this is an option that benefits both sides.
Well, I mean, it depends, because if you're a company, you could kind of want people to do this and then kind of have them default so that you end up charging them more than you would have got if they put the system alone.
I'm just glad that, you know, it's nice to see even this late in the generation that, you know, new pricing strategies that haven't been done before. And I mean, the game industry is at a time of upheaval, and as we transition to the next generation, you know, like, new players like Apple are going to do different things, and if the companies don't change, they're going to go the way of Atari. So they have to do something.
Atari was still a company.
Barely.
They're a brand. They're not really a company.
Yeah. I don't necessarily think that would be Apple's doing. I think there's a lot more, but going on.
No, I'm not saying like Apple's going to take them down, but they do need to, you know, they can't just rest on their laurels of the last 10 years.
Oh, no, I think it's a change in industry. Any industry is. I mean,
yes,
it's the same
exactly.
Movie. And, you know, the internet has really changed the game, not it's, you know, it's really hard to say, like, you can't buy this online and you have to go to the store and pay $60 for it when, you know, I should be able to download this from the comfort of my home for $40 or whatever. You shall see. And finally, the biggest announcement of the week or the year, because we had no idea this was coming at all.
Nope.
Call of Duty Black Ops 2.
Wait, there's a new Call of Duty? I never feel that one coming. Never.
Guys.
Breaking news.
Guys, this one's in the future.
It's in the future and the past, from what I understand.
Yeah. Oh,
but,
God.
But can I tell you something? Can I tell you something? I always wanted Call of Duty in the future, so I'm actually excited for it.
I think that was Jason's idea for it.
Holy shit, I wonder what the multiplayer is going to be like.
I hope they have horses in multiplayer.
Oh, yeah.
I doubt it, but...
This is going to sound really strange, but...
More important than the future thing is the... I don't really totally understand how this works, but there's going to be some kind of weird mission structure where... At certain points in the campaign, you have a choice of missions, and once you choose one, the other choices go away, and it changes the overall narrative.
They have basically, like, branching levels, where you can choose one thing or the other, but you can rappel down a building, or go a completely other way, and the story actually will differ. But even
Call
more
of Duty
also,
breaking linearity? What is this?
But even more awesome are these missions where you don't actually play one of the main characters, but just take part. You actually just control one of the drones from the future, and you can actually give out some orders to other drones. If your drone gets shot down, you control another one, and you can actually fail these missions, and the story still goes on. But it will differ depending on how these missions actually progressed.
At the very least, this is the most shaken up Call of Duty has been since Modern Warfare 1.
Totally.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not saying I'm going to be into it or that it's going to be revolutionary or anything like that, but that they're at least doing stuff a little bit different, like more than a little bit differently. Or at least, you know. It needs what?
He said it needs change. I wonder if they're going to have like a horse stampede as one of your perks. I mean, you can get dog attacks in other games, can't you? Why can't you have a horse stampede?
I think it at least shows that someone over there is thinking, man, people will at some point get tired of this. We should probably do something more.
And the funny thing is it's Treyarch that's doing it.
Exactly. Yeah. And they actually think they... showed with the first Black Ops that they are now the A-team when it comes to Call of Duty.
Well, I think
I would disagree with the Black Ops thing, but they are definitely the A-team. Well, I mean,
say part of it is probably because
Infinity Ward is gone.
Yeah. they are just shadow of themselves.
That is a much bigger reason, but yeah.
Zombie mode is back. But with 8 players now.
I was about to say, isn't zombie mode in every Treyarch game, though?
With 8 players.
Okay.
Oh, that's,
I hope the single player, they do this mind control supernatural stuff that they did with Black Ops, because I quite enjoyed that.
Yeah, what are the numbers? Stuff like that?
Yeah.
I also heard, I don't know how many people listened to Jeff Gerstmann talk about what he saw from Black Ops 2. But one thing which I also enjoyed in Black Ops was, like him, was the terminal where you could put in all the stuff and basically play Zork on. So, and when he asked Treyarch about that, they were kind of cagey about it. So the terminal stuff might also come back, which would be cool.
Okay. I think that's it for all of our news this week. I mean, there's Cave Story, but our connection's been very iffy. So hopefully we can get this out of the way without any interruptions. But we're going to start our pre-E3 coverage, and I realize it's a month, but I figured we have a week to do third parties, a week to do Sony, a week to do Microsoft, a week to do Nintendo, and then a big E3 preview show before then. So this week we're starting off with third parties.
Next week, you mean?
No, this week we're starting now.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, we might as well. Activision, EA, and Ubisoft are the biggest third-party publishers in the world, and they will probably be the ones who have the most to show. I think that I think them and Konami are the ones who get press conferences, or who do press conferences. I could be mistaken.
Think Ubisoft. Usually.
Yeah, I said Ubisoft.
Oh, EA does a press conference too.
Yeah, EA. Because Ubisoft. No, actually, Activision actually doesn't do a press conference.
Right. Activision. Well, what are they going to show? They show Call of Duty at the Microsoft one, and then they have Skylanders and the next.
They don't show. They didn't show Skylanders last year. that stuff is they kind of do ahead of time. If anything, I would imagine that if they have, like, I could potentially see 007 Legends being at Nintendo's press conference. If it's at E3. And that's about it. Ubisoft, I don't know. I don't really think many people care about their show, their games. It's just what they have. I wonder if Mr. Caffeine's going to show up this year.
Well, they have two games I care about.
Which is?
Rayman Assassin's Legends Creed. And Assassin's Creed 3.
Wasn't Assassin's Creed usually at the PlayStation show?
No,
I don't
not
know.
Necessarily.
No.
Just the first time.
No, it was there last year too, because they have a
because they
had
a Troia.
They didn't finish it. Yeah, I think they was like, oh, if you want to see the end of this epic Troia, check out Sony's E3 press conference.
But I think wasn't 2 at Microsoft show. I could be wrong.
Yeah, it was.
The point is, Assassin's Creed 3 is my personal game that I'm most looking forward to this year. So.
Okay. But yeah, I would imagine that we'll also have some. Again, I see some of this, you know, like stuff like Killer Freaks might be at Nintendo's press conference and Ghost Recon, but I imagine they would probably reveal some of that stuff as well during their show.
Maybe.
Just Dance
10.
Just Dance is so weird, because they don't usually show that off. It's their biggest brand, they don't show off.
Well, because they know that the people who buy Just Dance are not the people watching off
E3.
Yeah.
Who else is there? And then EA, you know, EA was at, I think EA had the best press conference last year. Because EA has this thing, last year they just kind of had like, okay, here's the guy who's behind the game, he's going to talk about it, here's the trailer for the game, here's some brief gameplay, we're done.
Last year they were like, we don't need celebrities to sell our games, and then they brought out a bunch of celebrities.
A bunch of football players.
Yeah. And I was just like, really?
No, that was Sony, right?
No, that was EA.
No, they were making fun of the other companies for using celebrities, and then they brought out celebrities. It was really weird.
I don't really remember. Anyway, EA is kind of a known quantity. They will have their new sport games. There will be a new Need for Speed from Criterion, and there will probably be some more Medal of Honor Warfighter.
I think we might also see some stuff from EA partners.
True. Crisis 3.
Yes, and I was hoping specifically that we actually see Overstrike, because it's been a year since they actually showed that off.
Yeah.
Oh, that was last year, wasn't it? You're right, it's been dormant since then.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that shows up as well. I don't know, you know, they'll probably have some other stuff, maybe Mirror's Edge.
No, they won't.
No.
I wish.
Don't we all?
You don't like Mirror's Edge?
Nope.
Interesting.
You know what I wish is that, maybe not necessarily EA, but somebody, even Microsoft or Sony, should buy the Time Splitters franchise from Crytek.
Yeah, Crytek obviously don't give a fuck.
Yep.
Did you see that this week?
There's a load of Time Splitters stuff, and I was like, oh crap, I gotta read this.
Well, it seems like they had the idea for Time Splitters 4. And they tried to pitch it around during 2008, and no publisher was interested in it. So that's kind of why it's been that thing. But yeah.
We also have, like, 2K games, Bioshock Infinite.
Bioshock Infinite. Whose press conference would that be at?
That'd be at Microsoft, wouldn't it?
Microsoft,
Last year it was at Sony's, actually.
Well,
it could be at anything.
Yeah,
to be
maybe.
Okay,
but
so.
I'm very excited to see some more.
Maybe we'll see some Lara Croft. Maybe Microsoft's, because it was on Microsoft's last year, so...
More orgasms?
it's another
I'm
2K
just being
game.
An ass. That game looks awesome, but...
And another 2K game I'm super excited for is XCOM Enemy Unknown. I mean the strategy game, not the stupid shooter.
I really want to see more of the shooter, though.
I don't care. I want to see more gameplay from XCOM Enemy Unknown.
I thought that was kind of funny because, like, when they were pimping it for the game shows, it's like more from XCOM Enemy Unknown after you reveal a new enemy. Like, it defeats the purpose of the title of the game's Enemy Unknown. Oh, we'll just give you more details on this enemy. I'm sure it wasn't intended. It's just funny how that was being advertised.
I doubt it's a game that will be shown at any of the alpha press conferences, but I'm still excited to see more of it.
I assume, if anything, I think that GameTrailer.tv stuff was probably the E3 presence.
I don't know.
Well, what about the Japanese? Capcom, Konami, Namco, Bandai.
Resident Evil 6 will probably be the big deal for Capcom, and of course DLC.
And
Konami will have another Silent Hill.
Super Street Fighter versus Tekken.
I think it's time we see Tekken X.
Yeah, I know.
Or, and I would imagine Metal Gear Rising.
Oh yeah,
What is the name again? Revengeance.
Rising Revengeance.
Revenge with a vengeance.
Revengeance.
That makes sense because that's not saying the same thing twice in a row.
Anyway. That game is really exciting to me because I love Platinum games and I know they can do these kind of games. So
true. It's the fact that Platinum's on it just
basically you have the best of both worlds: the crazy story from Kojima Productions and the awesome gameplay from Platinum.
I have a third-party prediction: a sequel for Castlevania: Lords of Shadow.
Oh but that's not really a guess, right?
Is it? I think it's rumored. Is it officially confirmed?
Is it? Oh, okay.
I don't know. If
I didn't
confirmed,
hear anything.
It has
so
been
was
rumored for a while. Has been rumored for a while.
I just feel like it's been a couple of years. We haven't heard what that developer's been doing.
That's true.
We'll probably have a word on Monster Hunter 3G.
Oh, please let it come
out. Monster Hunter Vita. We need some more Monster Hunter Vita stuff.
I was going to say, if it's not announced at E3, it's probably not coming over here.
God damn it, just give me Monster Hunter 3G, you assholes. or just another Monster Hunter 4 for this winter, then I'm also happy.
I was going to say, we didn't mention Square Enix.
Fantasy 15.
Final Fantasy 15, Dragon Quest 10 might have a presence if Nintendo is going to bring it over for the Wii U launch.
Versus
I have to say, Dragon Quest 10 does not look very impressive.
I honestly don't care either way.
Do you think they'll finally officially cancel Versus 13?
No, Versus 15 will be renamed Final Fantasy 15.
No, it'll be renamed Kingdom Hearts 3.
That would be the most awesome troll ever if they came on stage during E3 to cancel a game. Not update you on this frog, it's just say it's canceled. But we're backing up, we'll see you when we see you.
Also, Nomura actually said something about Kingdom Hearts news soon, but I doubt they will do it at E3. That's more of a thing we will do for TGS, I guess.
Yeah, and that doesn't necessarily mean it's a new Kingdom Hearts game at this point.
Of course.
It's probably like a remake of Chains of Memory again. Because that's not on enough systems. Who else is... Who hasn't done anything in a while?
LucasArts.
LucasArts. Eidos should be showing off P4, I guess.
Isn't Eidos also showing off Tomb Raider, or do they not do that anymore?
No, that's not Eidos. It's also, they did a, what did they do recently? Deus Ex. They're owned by Square, so they're going to be at the Square conference.
Yeah, so Eidos is also Tomb Raider, of course, but they are under the Square Enix umbrella now.
Okay. And what were you saying, Jason?
LucasArts needs to show something preferably. Okay, I know this is never going to happen, but I want a Pod Racing or Rogue Squadron, either HD remake port thing or new game, for any system. I'm going to keep campaigning for the, one of those two until I get them. That is all.
Yeah, we also didn't mention Sega. I mean, we mentioned Sonic and All-Star Racing, which I assume is the Epic Holiday title.
Shenmue 3.
Isn't Sonic 4 Episode 2? That'll probably be there.
That's out before E3, is it not?
Oh, is it? Oh, okay. Never mind.
Maybe we'll see the assume... Doctor Who MMO.
Oh, there's a Doctor Who MMO?
Yeah, Three Rings are doing it, so maybe we'll see that.
I assume just like Square Enix will come out on stage to announce the cancellation of Final Fantasy Versus 13. That Sega's going to come out on stage to announce the cancellation of Bayonetta 2.
Oh, God!
But they never announced that, didn't they? Or did they?
No, they haven't, but that's kind of why it's funny that people are, you know, it gets canceled now.
I so hope the game will be just shown off at E3. That would make me so happy.
Oh, I know what we'll maybe see, maybe not, but... BioWare's next project, probably Dragon Age 3.
Ugh.
Maybe Jade Empire 2.
Ugh.
Would be cool.
Ugh.
I want to see that.
I'm going to throw up.
Or, well, they'll probably show the Mass Effect DLC, I'm sure, actually. But.
Oh, right, the BioWare RTS, which is Command & Conquer.
Yeah, you mean the one that's not...
The Command & Conquer
BioWare.
The studio that they just slapped BioWare on with zero BioWare employees or anything. In
it's
a genre BioWare has never worked in before. Yeah.
But I assume we will see something from the new Command & Conquer.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. I think that's all major third parties. I'm sure we're missing some and somebody's going to point it out, but... that show do it for this week. I mean, we'll be back, and of course there will be news and stuff as they announce games. You know, like I said, that you can catch us on Twitter at @DoWorldIt_Wilden. You can email us at DoWorldIt@NerdsOnTheRocks.com. Check out NerdsOnTheRocks.com. Find us on iTunes and Zune Marketplace. Leave us reviews, comments, thoughts, and all that fun jazz. For Anthony, Martin, Daniel, Jason, and myself, this has been Do Wilden Episode 68. Barbra Streisand.
Hey, I'm Katy Perry.
Hola, mi nombre es Oscar.
Prince McNair.
Dominican Sue.
This is my mom, Sandy McGill.
Hi.
Hi, it's Flixie.
What do you think they
wanted?
Paul Iacono. Hi, I'm Harry Shum Jr., and we're about to play Just Dance on the Kinect.
On the Wii. On Space Station Move.
I'm
Sunny.
I'm the highest score.
You won.
I win.